so grateful for all of the people who worked so hard to make Caritas a success this week. We took such good care of those folks who were with us as our guests. And on countless hours and hard work went into making that happen to allow us as a church to be able to fulfill a part of our calling as followers of Jesus Christ. And I couldn't be more pleased or more proud of the work that so many people did to do that so well. And it went without incident. I do not believe the sheriff's department or the fire department appeared this year at all. So that's a good year. appreciative of that. And just to make it even better week for me, Penn State won their football game yesterday. And the New York Mets took the National League East. This is a good week all the way around for me. I have waited forever for us to be able to say that. But it's good. It's good to come together and to have time to share with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ and to be the church together. And that's kind of what Darren and I are going to be talking about over the next 5 weeks. We're going to be looking at the nature of the church. What is it that the church needs to be in order to be a faithful congregation? And interestingly enough, just to show you that Darren and I have been to school, each week it's going to be centered on one Greek word. And hopefully at the end of the five-week period, you will know five Greek words and you can impress your friends and neighbors with that kind of knowledge. And today we're going to start off by looking at the word koinonia. And it's a word that has a lot of meaning to it. So in order to understand it, I'd like us to take a look at a passage in the fourth chapter of Acts. Now, interestingly enough, the five characteristics that we're going to be looking at, the five different Greek words that we're going to be sharing with all of you, are ironically all found in the same chapter of Acts. Because the Acts of the Apostles is the telling of the start of the Christian church. And they were really starting from scratch. Most congregations don't have to start from scratch. You and I here at Fairfield are building upon a legacy that was left to us by some wonderful generations of Christians who went before us as Fairfield Presbyterian Church. And what we're doing is we're building on that solid foundation that they bequeathed to us. We didn't have to start from scratch. We didn't have to reinvent the wheel. We had the benefit of having the church passed down to us and then teaching us and showing us how to be the church from those great saints who have gone before us. But the early church, the first church, didn't have that benefit or that blessing. Well, certainly they had knowledge of how the synagogue worked and the temple worked and things like that. But really, in terms of being the church, they were starting from scratch. They were starting from the beginning, trying to discern what it meant to be followers of the resurrected Jesus Christ. Trying to figure out what it meant that Jesus lived and died and rose again from the grave for us. And how do we live with that knowledge in our hearts and in our minds? And that's what the early church was setting out to do. And so I'd like to share with you this passage, which is about koinonia in the early church. It's in the fourth chapter of Acts, the 32nd through 35th verses. And there we hear these words. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions. But everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. May Lord bless us a portion from His holy word. You know, in my ministry, I've been blessed to be the pastor of three different congregations in three different places, and I could not be happier than I am with being here and being your pastor. I count my blessings every day for God's leading me to be here with all of you here at Fairfield. I'm very grateful for that. But the problem is that, you know, in seminary, they tell you that as you move along in your life and you go from church A to church B, church C, and so on, that you're supposed to cut ties and not be a part of the previous congregation. Well and good. And that's proper and right. But what they never said to us, was that yes, you can break that pastoral tie, but you can never stop loving the people whom you have loved. That you still love them and care about them and care for them. And so it was with great sadness that I got word almost 2 weeks ago now that one of the members of the Conklin Church passed away, a fellow by the name of Gary Zeoli. And I wish you all would have had a chance to meet him. Gary was Gary. No other way to really put it. I still remember the first day that Gary came to the Conklin Church. We heard him driving down the road probably a good mile before he got there. He drove an old pickup truck that had long ago given up the ghost of having a muffler on it. And it was literally one of those vehicles that probably had more duct tape than metal on it. And so we heard him coming into the parking lot. And of course, it drew our attention out the windows to see what was going on out there. And then we saw this individual getting out of that truck and walking toward us. Now, let me try and phrase this gently and nicely. The only word I come up with that's polite is he was unkempt. He was not clean or neat or properly dressed for a Sunday morning worship service. And he wandered into our place that Sunday morning. And I hate to admit, but I, and I'm sure many others around me, were waiting for him to ask us for a handout. Or what was he going to want from us? Or, you know, all of these thoughts were going through our minds. But what we found out was that he came to us because he had reached a point in his life where he decided he needed to change. What he had been doing wasn't working for him. And so he decided he wanted to change his life, wanted to change the way that he was living it. And in his mind, the way that you change your life is by going to a church and finding it again. Now, what we subsequently found out about Gary was that he was this probably 50-some-odd-year-old man who had spent the majority of his adult life in and out of the Broome County Jail. Never really did anything terrible. A few bar fights, a few stolen wallets, you know, a little this, a little that. 6 months in, a couple months out, 9 months in, a couple months out. For most of his adult life, that was his life. That was how he lived. But he got to the point where he knew he had to change. And so he wandered in to our congregation. I never did find out why he chose us or how he came to us. And I guess it really didn't matter. But his life did change in many, many ways because of his presence in our midst. The church became the evangelist to him, sharing with him the good news of Jesus Christ, and it made a change in his life. And I'll tell you a story. Debbie's ready to tell this story because she knows this one. Because she was there. We were having a Bible study in our house. And Gary was a part of that Bible study. And we were studying at the time, well, the week before we talked about love and how Christians need to love others. And Gary was so excited the next night, the next Monday night, I think it was, that he came. And he just couldn't wait because he wanted to share with us a story. He wanted to share with us something that had happened to him. And he was just so excited. He was like a little kid. He couldn't sit still. And he said, can I share my story now? Can I share my story now? And finally said, okay, Gary, go ahead. And so he gets up. And he says, the other day, I was in the Walmart store. And some clown hit me in the back of the legs with his shopping cart. And he said, my first instinct was to turn around and slug the guy. He said, but then I thought, I remember the lesson we had last week and how you're supposed to love others and how God loves us. So I turned around to him and I said, God loves you, you expletive. Did I clean it up okay, Debbie? Just making sure. Gary was so weird. But there's a new creation in Jesus Christ, nonetheless. And he became a part of the church, and he took over the coffee bar at the church and made sure that there was always coffee ready and available anytime that the church doors were open, and that became his way of giving back to the church. And I really wish you had the chance to meet Gary, because he did bring something to the Conklin congregation. Because I think that he symbolized for all of us there, and maybe in some way for all of us here as well, what the term koinonia is all about. It's all about us holding each other in common. It's about being brothers and sisters with each other, loving and supporting each other. And it's not in any way, shape, or form based upon our likeness. It's not based upon all of us agreeing on everything. It's based simply upon the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for each of us. It's based upon what we all hold in common, that is God's grace toward us in his Son, Jesus Christ. You know, that's what the early church was talking about and what they were dealing with their congregation there. Because it talks in there about how they held each other in common. That koinonia. And it wasn't based upon being alike. Because if you just look at this passage, you see that there was wealthy people and there were people who were impoverished in the same congregation. And the wealthy people were able to sell some of their belongings, some of their properties, and were able to help out those who had nothing, the widows and the orphans. There was no social security, no welfare available to them, aid to families and children. There was none of that available, but yet in the church, they held each other in common and saw each other as equals. Not because they came from the same socioeconomic class, not even because they came from the same backgrounds, because some were Jews and some were Gentiles. Not because they even came from the same place, because they came from all over the world. They were united together as brothers and sisters, as forgiven sinners. And that was what they held in common with each other. No one was better. No one was worse. The Gary is the oldest, and the rest of us were brothers and sisters in Christ. As simple as that. We called to love and support, to pray for, to encourage, to be there with and for each other. That's a mark of the church. That's koinonia. That's God's love being made real through our love for each other. Would you pray with me? For God of grace and God of glory, we thank you that you have called us to be your sons and daughters, not as solitary individuals, not alone, but together, together in the family of faith which we call the church. Help us, O Lord, to practice koinonia in our midst, to love, to encourage, to support, to pray for one another as brothers and sisters, united in that love that you have shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ, the love that was revealed to us in his life, death, and in his resurrection, a love that allows us to join our hearts together in prayer through the name of Jesus.